What I want to do tonight, I want to show you something that I found here in the Psalms that I think really will help us to understand how to get the blessing of God on our life. Just built on the blessed words, a few of them, that are found in the Psalms. How to get the blessing of God in your life. Now, I'm glad for the privilege of opportunity. I said a minute ago, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to preach in this pulpit. Opportunities are wonderful. And I'm grateful the Lord's given me many opportunities. I'm sure He's given you lots of opportunities in a lot of ways. But opportunity without the blessing of God doesn't get very far. I'm glad for education. And I've been privileged more than most folks, I think, in terms of what I've gotten to do over the years. But very honestly, you can get the finest of education and still have so many T's uncrossed and I's undotted. I mean, so many things can be not in your Christian life the way that they ought to be. Now, give me opportunity. I'm grateful. Opportunity to be educated. I'm thankful for whatever I get in that regard. Whatever you've had, whatever level it is, thank God for it. But there needs to be this added element, an added ingredient of the blessing of God in a very special way on our life. And I want to show it to you out of these verses in the Psalms. Starting in chapter 1 of the Psalms. And you'll notice that the very first word of the first verse of the Psalms, chapter 1, is the word blessed. And each of these verses that I'll show you are thus to be noted. They have that blessed word in them. This one says, blessed is the man. Now, I pause in the reading. That tells me that a man, an individual, can get the blessing of God on his life. I mean, it's just obvious that God wants to bless, loves to bless, provides the blessing. And he says here, blessed is the man. And then there are three conditions for the blessing. That walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we have these three conditions. First one is that if you get the blessing of God, you must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we live in an age when advice can be received even without asking. I mean, we pick up a newspaper and there's all kinds of advice columns, some for the financial issues and some for other social related things. I mean, you got Abby and Ann and all these folks, and then you turn on the television, you got Dr. Phil and you got Oprah and on and on and on. Now, I just caution you because so many, many, many of those advocates in the papers, on the TV, so many of them are humanists. They're not dispensers of godly advice. They may lead you down paths that you ought never to be on. And the Bible says here to get the blessing of God, you do not take the counsel of the ungodly. While I was still pastor, had a family in our church. They'd been there 3 or 4 years. They were there Sunday mornings, most Sunday nights, and once in a while on Wednesday night. They were there. They had joined. They seemed to be happy at being in the church, but they were still not quite as fully engaged as I would like to have seen them. But they were good folks, and they were making some progress. One day I heard his voice, and the secretary said that he was in the outer office and wanted to see me, and I said, sure, bring him in. And he stepped in my office and he said, Pastor, he said, I won't take but a minute, but he said, I just came from my doctor's office, went to see the medical doctor, and he said, he's given me some advice, and he said, I just wanted to come by. He said, I'm not sure what you'll think about it. Now, let me just say parenthetically that often when people, not always, but often when people approach you like that, they're getting ready to ask you to approve something that is totally stupid. And this was a case in point. The man did have a health problem. He had a kidney issue. And the doctor had said to him that day, tell you what, if you'll drink a can of beer a day, it'll help your kidney problem. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, by the way, I knew, and I'm guessing the doctor knew, but I knew that this man had had a drinking problem a number of years before. He'd been clean for a long time. And he said, now, Pastor, the doctor recommended that I drink a can of beer a day. He said, Pastor, what do you think about that? Now, let me tell you, I did not call the deacons to get a vote on it. There were no committees convened to discuss the issue. Before I could even think, I was on my feet, I stood up, and I said, I'll tell you what I think about that. You need to get a new doctor. That's what I think. And I'm sorry to tell you, he did not take my advice. He went the other way. Within a year and a half, that man was a drunk once again. Now, you say, where did he go wrong? He got ungodly advice. The blessing of God slipped away. His family paid a dear price because of that. Now, the Bible here says, don't walk in that counsel. It goes on to say, and you do not stand in the way of sinners. And this word sinners here in the middle of the verse is the word that means to miss the mark. To miss the mark. There's a target. God has set a target, and he said, go for that. Go for that. That's what the commandments are about. God tells us, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. Hit the target. And if you miss that target, I mean, it's like going up to the edge of the cliff and just going right over and just saying, hey, it's no big deal. I'll drive on the road, drive off down the side of the mountain. Doesn't matter where I drive. And the guy who drives on the road does a whole lot better than the guy who drives off the side of the mountain. And the Bible here says, if you miss the mark, the moral mark, the spiritual mark, the high water marks that God sets, if you miss those, then the blessing of God goes missing. He goes on to say, nor he sits, this man that's blessed does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now the scorner is the guy who says, I don't care what the church stands for. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God thinks about it. I will do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me how to run my life. That is the scorner. And whenever we rebuff the wisdom of the ages, when we rebuff the eternal mores of God, when we rebuff what God has laid out, I mean the simple, defined plan of God for our life, when we look at that and say, well, I'm going to think about it a different way and do something different, we're putting ourselves in place to lose out on the blessing God wants to give. In fact, what he says here is, not only are those conditions there, but then he says, this blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. Those of you that have children, you've raised children already. You remember how it was when they were 2 and 3 and 4, and sometimes you'd have to say to them, go do that. Go do it. Go do it now. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. And then the little rascal, he would stand up and look at you kind of strange, and eventually he would go do it with whatever encouragements you provided on his behalf or elsewhere. But you provided some encouragement for him. And he would go do it, but while he was doing it, he had the scowl on his face, and you knew that he wasn't happy about it. But what a joy it was that there came a day, when he was about 29, there came a day. Whenever you said, I want you to do this, and I need you to do it now, and he would jump up and say, yes, Daddy, yes, Mother, and he would jump and go do it and smile as he did it. I mean, you love it when your children are responding to you and there's warmth in them and you see them delighting in the relationship. That's what God's looking for from us. He wants us to delight in the plan that he has devised. And in his law, this blessed man delights and meditates day and night. You meditate on it, that means you're focusing on it. You're ruminating like a, you know, well, you understand that rumination concept. You know, you chew on it and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it. And you think about it. I mean, some folks, you know, in their daydreams, you know, when they're driving down the freeway and other such times, I mean, they're thinking about all kinds of this and all kinds of that. And, you know, they're not thinking about the right things. And very honestly, the things that you think on, obviously, are going to be the things that you wind up doing. And so if you'll meditate upon God's law day and night, after a little while, there comes to be delight. And the Bible says, if you do it this way, verse 3 says, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what the deal is with that tree? Why, you could take any tree you want to and plant it out here in some part of Florida that's away from a river, it's away from a creek, it's not near a swamp. I mean, it's a half a mile from any water. You let it get really dry. I'm telling you, we had a little dry spell in Middle Tennessee last year for several weeks, and some of the trees in my yard, they began to, I mean, you could see they were starting to turn brown in the summer, and they were looking weak. And Betty has a little rose bush out in the back that a lady in East Tennessee gave us, and that rose bush, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing, and it just blooms, and it blooms, and it'll kind of look like it's getting dormant, and then it'll bloom again. And we named it after the lady that gave it to us. We call it our Lola bush. And we look at our Lola bush, and it's blooming and blooming. Well, I tell you, during that dry spell, she said, I think I'll just have Dwight to cut it down. I said, well, don't cut it down. Cut it down. Put some water on it, and let's take care of it. You know, that thing is still just, I mean, it is just going great guns. Because we fed it, we took care to feed it, it's not near water. But you take a plant like that and you put it near a stream, put it within 6 feet of the water, you know what it'll do? It'll put its roots toward the source. You let the drought come. You let the tough times come. And the plant that's off out here a half a mile from water, it may shrivel up, it may even die. But that one that's planted next to the water, It'll just put its root right out there, and it'll just keep drawing right out of that because it's planted next to a source that nourishes it and provides for it what it needs. The Lord said, you do this my way. You get my blessing. You avoid those things that steal away the blessing. You delight yourself in what I want you to delight in. And he said, you'll be like a tree planted by the river's water. I have people once in a while say to me, Pastor, they'll say, well, you know, you can't have church on Sunday night, or you know, you just can't build a church in these days. Or you can't build great families. You can't raise great kids. And to all of those things, I muster up whatever vocabulary I can get. But the best I can do is say hogwash to all of that. We may live in a spiritual drought. We may live in a time of spiritual famine. But you and I do not have to be on starvation. You and I do not have to walk the way of the world. You and I do not have to go down the wrong trail. God's willing and able and wants to bless. Look at chapter 2, right at the end of the chapter. Right at the end of verse 12, there's another one of these blessed words. It says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And I've been a Christian a long time, been a preacher a long time, and I've read the Bible through many, many times, making my way through it again. There's still things in the Bible that I don't quite have figured out. One of my favorite answers, people ask me a lot of times, they'll ask me questions. One of my favorite answers is, I don't know. Because there are things that I still do not know. But I'll tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered one answer that covers it all. When I can't figure it out, I faith it out. And if I simply, even if I don't understand what it says, if I just simply says, it's in the book, God said it, I may not understand it all, but I'm going to take it at face value and believe God for it and do it God's way. And if you'll faith it out, the Bible says there's blessing that comes to those who trust Him. And you and I certainly do well when we trust Him. Turn to the third one, please, in chapter 32. Psalm 32. You're going to like this one. Oh, you're going to like this. Chapter 32. Got two of them here back to back in verses 1 and 2. 32, 1 and 2. This one says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. God says that He will forgive our sin, cover it with the blood of His Son, and in all of that, He will not then charge things to our account so that we're obligated to pay for it. We are under the blood. We have His justification. We have the atonement made on our behalf. And I'm telling you, when you consider, I mean, people walking up and down the street out here, I mean, if you run a red light, somebody hits you, they'll mash up the fender of your car just like people out in the world. But there's a difference between folks in the Lord and folks who are not. Whenever you and I walk up and down that street, we walk forgiven. We walk knowing that we're covered by the blood of the eternal Christ. We're covered by the atonement that God provided in His Son at Calvary. We are covered, and God no longer charges to our account because we are justified in His economy. Now, I'm telling you, there's blessing that goes with that. I may not have the money that some of those folks have. I may not have the name that some of those folks have. I may not have the house that some of those folks have. I may not have a lot of things that some of those folks have. But I'm telling you, when all is said and done and you get down to the end of the trail, that money or that house or that name or the privilege or the travel or the things that you've gotten to do in your life, oh, I mean, nobody's going to be in the emergency room. Nobody's going to be ready to face the surgeon's knife and say, well, you know, I'm just thinking about that trip that I made to the Orient or that trip that I made to South. Nobody's going to be doing that. When you face the time of crisis and trauma and possibly your life coming to an end, what you're going to be wrapped up in, you're going to be saying, thank God, there was a day when I put my trust in the crucified and risen Christ. My sins were forgiven. It was placed, all of it, under the blood. Thank God that I have the assurance that I'm a saved child, born again in the family of God, and I'm secure in that. That's what will see you through, no matter the outcome of the surgery and other such things. Look over at 41. 41:1, we get another blessed word. This one says, 41:1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Now, the liberals love to quote this verse because they think it's an endorsement of their social action programs. But I'm going to tell you right up front, I don't think it's anywhere near their social action programs. You say, well, here's a dear soul needs his rent paid. I'm going to quote that verse, and maybe we should pay his rent. I don't think this says anything about you paying my rent or me paying your rent. I don't think it says that at all. You say, but it says that you are to consider the poor, and there's a blessing to you if you consider the poor. Well, look at the wording carefully. Consider the poor. You say, what does it mean? The MacD's where I eat breakfast in Murfreesboro every morning has kind of become a hangout for some homeless folks. Men and ladies, on any given morning, there'll be 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. Not always the same people, but there's, I don't know, probably 24 or more of them that kind of hang out there. And when I happen to be there for 20 or 30 minutes of a morning getting a bagel, I see them. Now, you say, well, those are homeless people. Some of them are taking baths in the restroom at McDonald's and they don't dress well and they don't smell good and all that. I understand that. I get the full treatment sometimes just being close to them. Let me tell you what I think this verse says. Through my eyes, through my glasses, I need to see every one of them as somebody for whom Christ died. I need to see every one of them as somebody that the Lord loves just as much as He loves me. Now, they weary me sometimes because they bum money and they want a biscuit or they want coffee or they want this and that, and I've I've bought them coffee and I've bought biscuits and other things over and over again. I don't always, but sometimes I set them down and I say, now look, there's this and that. And I talk to them just like I would if they were members of my own family. And I think the Lord wants us to treat them like they're somebody. Just like somebody who rolls up in a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes or a Cadillac or a Lincoln. I think the Lord wants us to value them and treat them the very same way. And whether they're at McDonald's or whether they walk through the front door of the church, the Lord wants us to consider them as somebody of worth, somebody for whom He died. That means that we treat them well, we love on them. And by the way, my friends from the villages who were here this morning, they said to us at lunch today, they said to Pastor Bloom, I actually directed it to him, but they said, every time we come to Central Baptist, you've got the friendliest church, the warmest church. Now, you say, well, we've been taught to do that. We've been led to do that. Yeah, I know. I understand. But you've got to be teachable as well. And you've got to get the hang of that. And you've got the feel of that. And this warmth and this communicating with people that goes on here at fellowship time, handshaking time, and when people are coming in the doors and all that. Believe me, and they're solid Christian folks. But they felt the warmth of being considered when they came in the door. And when somebody who is obviously homeless or whatever, just to remember, the Lord says, you consider those who are the poor. They can't give you anything. They can't provide anything for you. I mean, there's nothing. It's not an equitable relationship. They will not be bringing you anything, but you consider them and treat them as somebody of value. God says, I'll bless you for the way you value them. Look at, let's see, I wanted to do 37. I jumped over that one. This is a good one, too. You got to see this one. Verse 37:23. A couple more here. 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed, that is the good man that's described here, whose steps are ordered by the Lord, his seed, meaning his offspring, his seed is blessed. There's the word, blessed. So, you say, well, if I do right, yes, sir, it will trickle down to your children. If I do what I ought to do, serve the Lord like I ought to, my children's children and my children's children's children may well, I mean, there may be things accrue to them because their granddaddy, their grandmother did what they should do. I said to one of my granddaughters just in the last few days, Betty and I were having a little personal conversation with her. And I told her about my paternal grandfather that she has never met except in pictures because he went to heaven before she was born. And I told her, I said, when you were born, and this is our first grandchild, I said, when you were born, I said, I told Nanan, that's my Betty, I said, I told Nanan, I did not have to have books on being a grandparent. I did not have to have a manual on that. I did not have to listen to lectures on that. Because my paternal grandfather was absolutely, he was the epitome of everything that a grandparent ought to be. And I said, just growing up and thinking about all the things that he did for me and with me and to me, I mean, all of the ways in which he influenced me. And I said, all I have to do is think about my Daddy Pitt. And when I think about my Daddy Pitt, I know how to be a granddaddy. Now, you say, what's going on here? His seed, two generations ago. I mean, I'm reaping off of what I got from him. I've got grands now. They're two generations out. They're coming along. They're teenagers, some of them now. And, listen, we want that to trickle down all the way from there to the next generation, to my generation, to my kids' generation, and to those. And some of them will have children in a few years now. Glory to God. His seed is blessed. If we get it right, we get under the spout where God's good things are coming out. And it accrues to our families. One more. Look at 84. Chapter 84, there's actually three in this chapter, but I'll only do two of them because one of them is a repetition of something we did already. 84:4 says, blessed, there's the word, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. So that means if I hang around the house of God, there's blessing that comes. Oh, you better believe it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You better believe it. You hang around this crowd at Central Baptist, there's blessing that comes with that. You'll find folks that treat you right. I mean, there's a greater likelihood of you just finding good friends at church than you will at the mall. You may go to the mall to shop, but I would recommend that you spend time at the church house to find your good close friends. Blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. You know what happens? You hang around the church house, it'll give you an attitude adjustment. Now, I think probably all of us get grumpy once in a while. Hopefully it's sometime about 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody's around. But if you got a case of the grumps, I mean, if you're operating with a storm cloud hanging over you all the time and you're just grumpy and grouchy and you're biting people's heads off and barking, and if that's your demeanor, I tell you what, do hang around the church house. Just hang around, sit down near the front. I mean, if you don't get over it within a week or two, get closer and closer to the front. I mean, get out and close, so we can spit and splatter all over you when we're preaching. And after a little while, I promise you, you put your feet under the table where the Word of God's being given out, where these great songs are being sung. And by the way, brother, thank you for the singing that No More Night. Oh, man, I was about to jump up and help you. Amen. That's great stuff. Great. A blessing. You get around that kind of thing, and the Bible says it'll put praise in your lips. The blessing that comes, just giving your attitude adjustment. Look at the next one, verse 5, 84:5. Says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Ladies, I'm sure you know this already, but I'm going to tell you something. These guys, all of us guys, we really want you ladies to think that we're strong. You know, one of the guys out here this morning shook hands with me. And as he was shaking hands with me with his other hand, he reached up and grabbed me right there. I do it all the time. Guys do that. When they do, I look down and I say, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying? Hey, muscle boy, there's muscle there. Now, we guys, we kind of strut around and we gloat about that a little bit. But in all honesty, ladies, and all of the spiritual men in this crowd will fess up and tell you, truth is, that's not our strength. That really isn't true. Because strength comes from the spiritual fountain. It comes from the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, to tie to that verse just before it, the Bible says in another place, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when we start drawing strength out of the fountain of God's joy, that's where we began. I mean, that's where we now. Oh, we get that kind of strength, we can handle temptation. We get that kind of strength, the devil shows up, we give him a fit. It makes all the difference. Did I say that was the last one? Forgive me. One more. I'm telling you, I hope this will whet your appetite. So you go look for them. I mean, there's so many of these in there. They're full of good things. Look at 89:15. 89:15, this will be the last one, I think. 89:15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And notice that verse does not say, blessed is the people that hear the joyful sound. It's those that know the joyful sound. A few months ago, And I've honestly forgotten what city it was in. But I'd been someplace for the weekend preaching. And on Monday morning, I was... Let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. On Monday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning in the hotel, the fire alarm went off. I don't know if you've ever been in a hotel where the fire alarm goes off or not, but yeah, some of you have. It is piercing. I don't mean just loud. It is piercing. I got up, dressed, stuck my head out the door. A bunch of other people doing the same. Went down the hall. We went downstairs. They said, no, there's no real problem. Go back. Go to bed. Went back to bed. 5:10, it went off again. Got up, dressed, went downstairs. I mean, I was on the 4th floor. I'm going to go check. I mean, if we're going to have a fire, I'm getting out of there. Turns out there was a basketball team in the hotel, and they were having fun. I learned later that some of them, when they pulled it the second time, the police were still hanging around. And so some of them got tickets and had to pay a fine, as they should. The next morning, Monday morning, I was downstairs in the lobby, already packed, somebody waiting for somebody to come pick me up to take me to the airport to fly back home. I was sitting on the front row of seats in the lobby within, 10 or 12 feet of the desk. The elevator's over here, and I'm watching out the door for my ride, waiting for them. The elevator door opens. There's a nicely dressed couple, I'm guessing in their mid-60s, stepped out of the elevator. They walked over the desk to process their checking out of the hotel. And the minute he opened his mouth, I recognized what appeared to me to be some kind of a Slavic accent, Eastern European accent of some kind, very, very thick accent. He spoke some English, but it was measured and kind of broken. And as they were checking out, he said to the clerk, he said, "What was the awful noise in the night?" These exact words. What was the awful noise in the night? I'm sitting there hearing that. I could hardly believe what I heard. See, they heard the same thing I heard, but from the part of the world where they were had come from, they had no clue what it was about. Had there actually been a fire, well, we don't even want to go there. I mean, it could have been tragic because even though they heard what I heard, they did not know what they were hearing. And what the Bible says in this place, there is blessing for the people who know the joyful sound. There'll be people walk through these doors who will hear everything you hear. And they'll walk out saying, what was that all about? What was that all about? They heard everything that was said that the rest of us heard, but they don't know. They don't know what it is. And the Bible says when we hear the Word of God and know what we've heard, that then is the source of the blessing. By the way, there's another one of these. I skipped past it. 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 1 said, blessed is the man. 33:12 says, blessed is the nation. Does that mean that a nation can get the blessing of God? I think so. The Bible says the nation can be blessed. I don't think we're going to get the blessing like we want it as long as we continue to abort 1 million babies a year. I don't think we're going to get the blessing we want as long as we let liquor float down the streets like a river. I mean, and all kinds of other things that reflect the Hollywood lifestyle, all of the other things where, I'm glad to be in a church and to be a member of a church and to be a part of a church family that is pro-life and pro-marriage and pro-Bible. I mean, we are thankful to be in that kind of a church. And I'm glad to be in a church that's patriotic and free enterprise and capitalist and flag waving. I'm glad to be in a church like that. And the Bible says if we get the nation on track and thinking like it ought to think and make God the Lord of the nation, there there's blessing that comes. We might even be able to pay our bills if we got that in place. I mean, we might all at once have some conviction of heart about spending ourselves into oblivion if God was the Lord. I mean, we sometimes act like, well, it's just a difference of opinion. No, it's a difference between light and darkness. It's a difference between the perspectives of heaven and the perspectives of hell. And whenever we give place to God that He deserves to have, He says that the old nation can be blessed once again. Now, I back up to where I started. I'm glad. I mean, I've been to so many places around the world, and I still love going to places. So many, many beautiful, beautiful places. I love it. And other such things. I mean, you just think of things that you love to do and that you've been blessed in doing. And we're all grateful for all of those things. I have a nice car, and I'm glad for that. Ben and I have a nice house to live in, and I'm glad for that. Glad for, you know, the material blessings that God's given. I'm glad for all of that. I'm very thankful for all of it. But I'm going to tell you, if it's the difference, if it's the difference between some of that and having the blessing of God, give me an old clunker to drive, I'll take the blessing of God and I'll drive a piece of junk till the horn blows. I don't want to go down the trail. I don't want to spend the years of my life floundering around in the mere energy of my flesh. I want the blessing of God. Over the years, Betty and I made some choices. We have two children. They're both grown now. My son's been my partner for 20 years or so. Daughter and her husband have been very close with us as well. And we made some choices along the way. We made some investments in our children that cost us. I mean, money-wise, it cost us. I mean, we had opportunities to send them to Christian camps and send them to Christian school and so forth. And I told her, we had the discussion. I said, I will drive that car until the wheels fall off of it. If I can't do for my children and do what is best for them and drive a good car, I will drive a clunker and be happy doing it. I'll invest in them. I'm going to tell you, places like Central Baptist Church don't just pop up all over town because of somebody's carelessness. Places like Central Baptist Church have developed over the years because of some men who have committed themselves and given themselves and paid the price and stayed by the stuff and who've said, it's worth the fight. It's worth the disrespect sometimes that people hurl at you. It's worth the way that sometimes maybe somebody's gotten mad and stormed out because you wouldn't give in. Thank God for both of you in the years that you've invested and held the line. And for those of you who stood by them when they were standing by the stuff, amen. Glory to God. No preacher can do it on his own. I mean, the best people that you know cannot do it unless somebody holds up their arms and supports them. I'm going to tell you, it's worth every battle. It's worth everything that is, I mean, every price to be paid. It is worth it just to have the nod from heaven, to have the approval of God, and to know that the blessings will come because you didn't give in to the world and the flesh and the devil. God help us. Some places all across this nation by the thousands would rise up in these days and just say, nobody may love us, nobody may speak well of us, nobody ever, maybe ever put our name up in lights, but listen, we're going to go for the blessing of God, and we'd rather have that than all of the applause that the world can give. Put yourself in that place. You'll like what you get, amen? How to get the blessing of God on your life. You can get it, and you can have it. God wants you to have it. Just pay the price, amen? Father, I pray, do a work in our midst tonight. and give us your very best, I pray. May these altars be the place of sweet surrender and the place of claiming the blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.